Allegiance, we would like Mari Hernandez, our city clerk, who's already been here 3 months, but it's the first time that we've had a meeting with her. So we would like her to lead the pledge. Mari?
To the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Motion to approve the agenda?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, approval of the June 18th minutes. Motion, please. All in favor?
Oh, it's on? Sorry.
In the interest of time, before we do commissioners' announcements and introductions, we'd like to recognize the library program volunteer participants, and we have our young adult librarian, Carolyn Stewart, to do the introductions and the awarding of their certificates.
Excuse me, Madam President, your mic is not on.
It's green. Oh, here. Got that. Sorry about that. Should I start all over again? Carolyn.
Okay. Just to start off, talk a little bit about, we had another great summer reading program. We had great numbers for all the programming. Story Pirates on July 11th. There were about 120 people there. It was very popular. The patrons loved it. We had Wild Wonders, which is an animal group. That was a big hit. We at this point, we have to have two events on the same day, one at 4 and one at 7 for the animals because they're so popular. David Cousin, he's a popular juggler in the area. We also had Tuesday night family movies, which proved to be extremely popular. The Teen Library Council kind of ran those with my supervision, and we showed different family-oriented feature films on Tuesday nights, and had concessions and juice and drinks for the kids, and that proved very popular. Lunch at the library with the Historical Society doing their lectures was very popular. Our Film Fanatics, which is our movie group for adults, and then we had a teen movie in the afternoon one Saturday in July for the teens. We were short-staffed during the summer, so the teens, they always do a fantastic job. But this summer, especially in August, they had to step up, and they all did a fantastic job of helping staff. That's the reason that they're... that we could not do the summer reading program without them. I say that every year, but it's absolutely true. Let's see. Oh, I did want to let you know that there are some pictures of the summer reading program, including the Story Pirates, on our website. If you go down the bottom of the library front part of the library website, there are pictures of some reading program, and then from those pictures, you click on the pictures, and it'll go to the online event that media has put online for the whole event that they filmed it. So I wanted to let you know that. All the summer isn't quite on there yet, but the first couple of ones are. So I'll get started with the teen certificates. Just get to that. Okay. I'm going to go in alphabetical order. Not everyone could make it tonight, but as you see, we have quite a few of the teens. So I want to give these out in appreciation for everything they do year-round, actually, but especially during the summer. So our first one is Christina Amini, Shant Andarikian, Alex Andarikian, Seda Balbigi, Rachel Bastian, Alexis Berkowitz. Alexi Chacon. Sansak. Oh, I'm going a little too fast. Okay. Sansak Chaganti. Eugene Chang. Murgachi Dave. Rochelle De Guzman. Dominique De Cosmio. Chloe Drazen. Kevin Igbali. Nava Ismail Azadi. Nika Ismailzadi. Pardis Vasihi. Marissa Forn. Brian Gavimi. Bahar Gomahamadi. Tara Hadapur. Rose Hatter. Georgina Hewison. Dylan Hudson. Lily Jaminshan.
Yes. This is the brother who is PJ Jaminshan.
Sarah Javeri. Darush Kazra. Karosh Kazra, Nika Kazimi, Kevin Kocharian, Brooke Kramer, Sam Malazadeh, Kian Malazadeh, Neil Mathiel, Camille Martin, Shivani Mithuku, Masa Momin, Nader Motamedi, Spindana Muscula, Nikki Nader, Alex Narani, Daryl Acampo, Max Butohov, Holly Rosenberg, Jeffrey Rosenberg, Rachel Sauernau, Allison Sauernau, Nithya Saravanan, Cyrus Sayedan, Ashley Sevavoshi, thank you, Lindsay Say, Armand Vasquiani, Andre Vasquianin, Jesse Wu, and Tiffany Wu. We had 56 volunteers this summer. Not one could we have done without. And in fact, in August when we were desperately shorthanded, Joseph Hewison came, our former student commissioner, came and helped us out a few evenings on his summer from college. So they come back and they help us out, and I really appreciate them, probably more than they know, but I really do. And I know the staff does. The staff really, Barbara, anyone would tell you that they're great and we can't do without them, and I just can't say great enough things about them. So thank you.
Now we have a couple of comments. First of all, it's a tribute to Carolyn as the young adult librarian that so many of the young adults want to be part of this program. And the entire commission, go ahead, you can appreciate it. And the entire commission values your work in helping us out. You need to come up in front of the dais so that we can take your official pictures, and you need to tell your parents that they can DVR this meeting to see you. It will be replayed tomorrow at 12. So please come up to the front of the dais and we will join you for official pictures.
Mr.
Additional comments from commissioners. Commissioner Hill.
Everything has been said that can be said probably of your involvement, but I know we appreciate so much the time you put in, and being around the library as you are as contributors, I think part of the allure is young people identify with those things, and it starts a trend of a public service that we all appreciate. So again, thank you for all your service, because you people before you started this thing, but you've carried it on, and it's really valuable to the community. People know that people know because your involvement, it has value, and they'll follow you, I know. Thank you again.
Commissioner Oury.
I just want to reiterate what Commissioner Hill just said, thanking you for your public service and reiterating the commission's and the library's gratitude for all of your assistance. We really do appreciate it, and congratulations on your recognition today.
Commissioner Brown.
Also, I would like to say thank you for the teens who have always helped us with the library sales. You are really extra special for pitching in. Thank you.
Commissioner Scheer.
Also want to wish you all congratulations, and to me it's phenomenal to see a group this size for this type of thing. You don't often see that many volunteers for something, and it speaks well for the future of libraries too. So thank you for that. Also, you can probably find it online. If I recall, they record these meetings, and you can get them sometime in the future as well if you miss tomorrow. So it's always there on the Calabasas website.
And I think it's tough for our student commissioner to say something since she was one of the people who got the certificate, but go for it, Nava.
Well, I think that everyone here played a pretty big role in helping Carolyn and everyone with the summer reading program, and thank you all for doing it.
And if you don't want to stay for the rest of the meeting, you can certainly leave now. That's why we did your part of it first. Commissioner announcements and introductions. We'll start with our student commissioner. Any announcements or introductions?
Yeah, we have Study Buddies. It's a free tutoring and homework help on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 3:30 to 4:30 in the Calabasas Library meeting room. And also peer counseling is available on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 3:30 to 5:30 to get help with math, English, whatever you need. Both will be canceled during winter break, which is December 24th through January 4th, and Thanksgiving break, which is November 19th through 23rd. There's also another tutoring program on Saturdays in the children's section of the library. There's a tutoring, it's for kids in kindergarten to eighth grade from 1 to 3 p.m.
Commissioner Scheer, announcements and introductions? Okay, Commissioner Brown?
None.
Commissioner Oury? Yeah. Commissioner Hill?
I don't have anything to add.
I have a couple. The first is that I want to congratulate Clifford the Big Red Dog. It's his 50th anniversary as a book character.
Oh, he looks good.
He does. He does. He looks just as red as ever. We have the Pumpkin Festival this weekend on the 20th and 21st, and we have a very important election on November the 6th. Are there any cards, Ms. Hernandez? Okay, then we'll go right on to new business. Discussion and recommendation from subcommittee regarding the Friends of the Library bookstore, and I'll turn it over to Commissioner Scheer to give us a thumbnail sketch of the report since we've all read it.
Good. Okay. Assuming that everyone has read the report, basically it boils down to we have two spaces where there's a potential to make better use of them. And we looked at various ways to do that, and bottom line, I think the best thing we felt would be that the copier room could be a used bookstore. It has a nice face as you come in, so it could be seen, yet it's a little tucked away, so it can be kept, it can be kept well over there. And the current gift shop, which has items, some of which have been there since, the beginning of time, I think it was, and some things not, of course. And that the Friends of the Library really don't want to be in the business of selling gifts. They like working with the used books, understandably. So how do we make best use of the space? So ultimately, what we came up with was the best thing possibly would be to have somebody who has the experience and knowledge in doing that, which would be either have a gift shop run by another retail establishment or a concessionaire of some sort. It's done all the time in all kinds of places. There's many ways to construct a deal that works well for all parties involved. All parties being, of course, the patrons of the library, the vendor who comes in, and the library itself. So how do we do that? You can set up a rent structure that is rent plus a percentage. You could do just a percentage. You can. There's various ways to do that that we need to look at. But basically, we felt that we don't have the knowledge on how to maximize that retail space. We would like to have certain things for the patrons, such as pens, pencils, paper. We could have some of the City of Calabasas logo items. But ultimately, a vendor can come in and make better decisions with regard to that space. Behind the retail space itself is a storeroom. Now, that storeroom would have to be shared between the Friends of the Library and the vendor that comes in, because that's really the only working space for those situations. So, but that should be manageable, and that's what we propose tonight.
And so, to start a discussion, let's have a motion to recommend to the City Council that an RFP be initiated to pursue an outside-run gift store concept while maintaining the used bookstore in a different location in the library for the Friends. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Okay, second?
Second. Are we going to discuss this
yes.
proposal before we move on?
Yes, well, we have to have a motion before okay. we can discuss it. Okay.
I'll
yes.
second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
In favor of what? I'm sorry. To
of the motion to discuss.
It's a motion to discuss.
I
okay.
The motion to be to send the RFP.
No.
I understand the
discussion.
Motion is to discuss.
Yes.
Fine.
Okay. We are discussing. Is there a commissioner that would like to start first?
I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
If I could start. And it might make sense just because I have some very basic questions. I'm newer to the commission and to the library, so some background for me would be really helpful. For example, why gifts at all? I mean, we are a library, so it's a retail space. Did we look at other libraries that had vendors that brought in and sold gifts in a library? I'm not sure I understand why we would want a gift shop in the library at all. And with that, so do other libraries have gift shops? How does that work? And if there is an RFP and there are vendors brought in, are there limits on what kinds of goods that can be sold? Do we want it to be book-related goods? And what have other libraries done on the retail front, if they've done it at all? So I guess my first question is why, and my second question is what has everyone else done?
To answer your why, and Commissioner Brown is also on the Friends of the Library, and she can say if I've got the story wrong, the Friends said that they really wanted it just as a used bookstore, but there was a meeting where we decided that we would put gift items in the store to see how they would run. Are there gift stores in libraries? Yes. Probably the most famous one would be the Smithsonian, and next to that would be MoMA, but Thousand Oaks is one that has it, and there are many other libraries that have gift stores on premises. As far as what we would sell if we got a concessionaire, and that would be something that would come up when the RFP was sent out and candidates for the concession would come in.
And why did the Friends decide to transition from selling books, which seems to obviously fit with the library's mission, to gifts and other knickknacks? What's the purpose of selling, you know, gift items?
Fundraising.
Okay. So, the money then goes to support the Friends?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the Friends' money goes to buy books for the library. I understand. 100%.
And the idea of running a shop in the library was a temporary situation. The Friends wanted to look at putting something in that would have a number of different items, a variety of items, and give it a year and see how the public responded to it. Because there were a lot of Friends that really wanted to keep it as a bookstore, and then there were some other Friends that pushed to incorporate some sale items. So the year has gone by. There's been some numbers and figures that have been given at each of the meetings, and it's not a lucrative space for selling.
As is.
Jewelries.
Yeah.
And
tell me again, it's not?
It is not.
As it exists now.
Oh. Now, what was the consensus of the discussion that went on, gift shop or not, with the Friends of the Library?
If you look at the report, it will show you that the Friends made it clear that they wanted the store to be only used books.
Yes, I did see that. But, I mean, was it, how did the discussion go? Give me a summary of the discussion. If I wasn't part of the discussion, so.
We had, the committee had two members who were from the Friends, two staff members, and two commissioners. And everybody got a chance to give their input. And the two members of the Friends, one was the president and another was an extremely active member. That's a safe way to sum up Sally.
It says that they were not as pleased with the copy room location as opposed to the present location. Can we get a summary as to what the Friends' position is about the difference of the locations?
The difference of the location is the entrance to the copy room is not right off of the Great Hall. It's essentially around the corner from the opening of the existing store.
And the size of the copy room is maybe one-quarter of the size of the current book room. Mm-hmm. The book room was originally set up with a number of different cases and display units. And the Friends of the Library would come in on certain days. There was a schedule. And they would rotate the inventory, add to the inventory, straighten up. It was a social gathering place. And, you know, people going by would come in and inquire as to certain books or where, you know, and it was organized according to nonfiction, fiction, and different. It came down to, you know, more categories than just throwing books onto shelves.
But does a new space that's proposed, does that still accommodate the inventory of books that we have?
Yes, it can accommodate them, not as many at one time, but there would still be the ability to change books around and shelve them and whatever. And it would keep the Friends with a dedicated area that was just
I don't know what the new space looks like, but there isn't any reason why we couldn't dress that up a bit if that group thinks they're getting a space that's less than aesthetic or something. There isn't any reason why we couldn't dress that up to be an appealing space.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Going back to when there was a discussion and the agreement was made that we would try putting the
gift goods,
thank you, into the store, we were told that this wasn't a permit situation. We could back off and we could go back to having the bookstore as long as we had some basic items in there for sale for the students that come in after school. Pens, pencils, glue, that kind of item, and that we could retain that space. And so I'm hearing it differently now, and I'm disappointed. Hmm. I think the small space of the copy room is not a good place.
Commissioner Scheer.
And some of the Friends were making those ideas, like you were saying, known at the time. They did seem to, from the gathering that we were at, seem to, I don't want to say accept it, but it seemed like that was the case, that they understood the situation, but I can't speak for them. But that's what I saw. Part of the reasoning was that the gift shop itself is a pretty good size, and for the if you want to look at it as dollars per square foot, it's a very poor use of that large a space. Whereas the smaller space would require bookshelves and dressing up to make it work for a used bookstore, in essence. And the gift shop space could be used as a gift shop. Now, there's always ways to reconfigure space, but the reality is this too, in a sense, would be a test, because if you bring a vendor in, you're going to have a contract for a year, probably 2 years at a time, and it may or may not work. So there's always the possibility that it could go back to used bookstore. I'm not suggesting one way or another. I'm just saying that for the space that's there, for the prime space that it is within the library, it is a under and poorly utilized space.
And additionally, I think that we have to note that when we, if we recommend to City Council and we put out an RFP, that doesn't mean that a concessionaire will want to come in. That's also something that could happen. Yeah, we could. Don't know. Jennifer?
If I may, I just have a couple other questions. The first is, it sounds like the money from a vendor would benefit the profit that that vendor makes. Are you saying that all of that profit would go to the Friends of the Library, or the vendor obviously would keep that profit, right?
It depends on how it's structured. Yeah. It could be where they pay rent and they keep all profit, or they pay a lesser rent and pay a percent of their profit as well in. But they have to make a profit, or there's no point for them.
Of course. Yeah. So if in some ways this does have some benefit to the Friends, it seems like the Friends are very resistant to it. What's the benefit for the library? Do we risk alienating allies in the Friends of the Library to make a little bit of extra money? And is that money necessary, I guess, is my question. But I don't know if you can just respond to the overall why question, why we want to do this.
Are you
trying to the subcommittee, please.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, and I know Robin wanted to say something, too, and I don't know if she...
I was just going to say that if you had an outside concessionaire, it would not go to the Friends of the Library. Any funding would come to the library because it's the cost of this, the overhead of operating this type of business in the library. It actually goes back into the library fund.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Friends have lost that room for the last year plus, and because we haven't been able to... If there's not a person in the store to run the cash register, the doors are closed. Before, it was more of an open situation. We were working on putting a vessel for collecting monies. Where, you know, you were on the honor system unless there was someone in there that would say, here's the amount of money that we want you to buy, you know, pay for your books that you're taking out. So... Currently, the store has been shared with, and so it's been on lockdown, unless there's somebody there that can run cash register. And if I'm hearing Mark say correctly, there's another possible 2 years that the Friends won't have this area that, to me, was when it was first opened. It was really a great place for people to gather and talk books and be with people who love books and just relax. And now it just seems like it's money, money, money. Why are we're just kind of losing the charm that we had for that room since we've had to put the gift items in there. And if we go on to make it into a concessionaire situation, the charm's gone.
I've been involved in it since the beginning, as Commissioner Brown knows, and I also was there working in the gift store and working at the bookstore. I never saw it as a gathering place, and additionally, I think that the figures would show that there was not a significant difference in the amount of money that was brought in when it was just a used bookstore versus a book/gift store.
Do we have those figures?
Yeah, the Friends have the figures on that, and so does the library.
Because I think for me it would be really helpful, and I don't know if this is something we need to decide today, but it would be helpful for the subcommittee to do both to present those figures and then to do a study or an analysis of sister libraries or comparable libraries where they have a vendor and ask questions like, what does that model look like? How much money are they bringing in? And you know, where does that money go?
Well, but the problem is that you're not going to find a comparable library in size.
Well, or even, you know, as close as we can get, but just to get a better idea of who these vendors are, what they sell, what the price breakout looks like, I think that that information, and additionally the numbers on the Friends of the Library, both pre
gift and post-gift. I think that would be really helpful to make a decision.
I think we would have to get staff involved in this, and I'm not sure that monetarily the commission can afford the staff time to do all this investigating.
Okay, then speak up.
I have some figures on the what the store with the merchandise made and how much they make.
Do you have your microphone on, Barbara?
Yes, can you hear
me
now?
Yeah.
Okay. It looks like in, this is just the gifts, the art and the gifts. So it looks like the profit for 2010, well, I take that back. Let me do just 2011, was about $3,000. And then in 2012, it went down a lot because a friend had asked them not to replenish their stock. So it was about 406. That was the gifts. And then for the books, this, the donations, they make about $60 a month. Is that about right, do you think, Karen? Just with the book donations?
I would say it's higher.
You think it's higher?
Mm-hmm.
So... then that's about, I'd say they make about $7,000 a year on just the book donations.
And I understand, though, we don't have an estimate as to how much a vendor would bring into the library, whether it would just compare with that $7,000.
Yeah, we can't.
I'm curious, who decided that there needed to be a change to this room? Why did this come up?
Well,
yeah.
As a new commissioner, and I was asked to be on the committee, when I looked at it, looking at it from a business perspective, that room is well underserved with that kind of money.
Okay.
Now, that being said, I understand your point of view, but there's also that space is right in your high traffic area. So it seems like that room could be better served, whether if you don't like this proposal in some other way, but as a used book depository that is not open all the time because we don't have volunteers to run it all the time, it doesn't befit, to my mind, what Calabasas looks like.
I understand
what
you're saying.
And to go back to why it came up in the first place.
No, I'm asking who decided that it needed to come up.
That's what I'm going to tell you. When Commissioner Hill was the president of the commission, the city manager and our liaison to city, Robin Parker, asked Commissioner Hill, who was the president, and I was the vice president at the time, to come in for a meeting. And that's where it was brought up.
And it was actually was around what you, Mark, what you say, around the usage of the space. I think while you were involved in the committee and I wasn't, I think the discussion was that there wouldn't be any great loss if we put the Friends of the Library inventory over into another area and tried to gain a little more from the space that was not fully used by you guys. Or by the Friends of the Library.
And try to get gifts in there that were on a level of museum quality besides logo kind of materials.
I think when people go to the library, they go to the library for the books. They don't go to the library to go shopping. Personal opinion, and this is what I've seen when I've been in the library. And that's why I think why the shop has not done as well as we would hope it could, or would.
Well, we can do a two-year, a period of testing whether it works or not, and that's probably what we should do. This isn't absolutely permanent if it doesn't work on the gift shop side.
And again, we don't know if any concessionaire would come forward to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And remember, if there is somebody renting that space, there may be a challenge getting to the back room where that's being proposed that we put the excess inventory. They may say, no, we don't want anybody going through our shop.
Well, that'll be part of the discussion when there, when and if there's an RFP that goes out,
you know, though,
for this.
I do have to echo Commissioner Brown's sentiments. That's my first reaction when I see it is, why do we need a shopping area in a mall, or in a, not in a mall, in a library? You know, there are children there. What are we selling? How is it being marketed? How is the money being distributed to the library? Who are these vendors? What are they selling? All of these questions are unanswered. And I think that if we had that information, we could provide the city council more directive. This is the type of vendor we'd like. This is the type of split of the profit that we would like to see. This is the type of revenue based on studies that we anticipate the library will receive. And then we can go to the friends and say, it's not personal, but look, this is why. We're gonna bring in a book vendor who's going to sell books, who's going to make this much money for the city. But as of now, we really just don't seem to have that much information on what this shop would look like. And just a shop of, you know, I don't know, just gift items, I don't think it necessarily has a place in the library. So absent more information, I don't know that I have enough information to vote for that.
Okay. Robin, can you tell us to what level the commission would be able to give this much information to council, or do you think it would be more of you put out an RFP and you see what the concessionaires are saying they will do?
Well, Mark has more background in that when he worked when he was on the Park and Rec, and I'm going to use the example of everything we've done from the Tennyson Center concessionaires, is that you start out, you don't know what you don't know, and you work through it. So it could be, yes, we want to see if we can, your basic concept could be a concessionaire that we could have, depending on what the commission wanted to recommend. Yes, they're going to do books, pencils, paper, not books, I mean, you know, paper, pens, pencils, logo items, something that looks like the, I think the expression I heard was the, was it the LAPL store or the LA County Library store, where they have a lot of logo items. They have a lot of items that relate to literary and libraries. So we can ask someone of that, and then we can ask them to give us a proposal. And then look at, or you know, we could do an RFP, and then they provide us with a proposal. If you work out your details with it, okay, are you going to pay rent? And that goes directly back into the library fund. It doesn't, you know, it's a decision that goes back into there. And as you're all aware, the library currently had to cut its budget this year. Our collection development is down to $50,000 this year, as opposed to $150,000 from the previous year. So the money would go right back into the library.
And Robin, once the proposal would go out, and let's say we do get some people who want to come in, it then will come back to the commission with what the proposals are, and
right,
then we again bring it to the council,
right,
with,
right,
this and, is and our recommendation.
Right. It's something that would you have to work through it, because we don't know. We may receive no proposals.
That's what I'm saying.
It's entirely possible, and we may have to think, okay, well, maybe that's not what we want to look at. It's entirely possible. I don't know until I actually sink our teeth in and find out what's out there. You're right. Maybe we do have to look at another library and see who does someone have a concessionaire. They may not. We may be on cutting edge and be the first ones to try it. So there's a lot of variables involved that, and going back from three of these people, I mean, even Karen, there's a lot of things that we've done that have not been done before. And we were the first city to withdraw from the LA County Library System.
Yes.
Back in the day, and it's a big success. So there's a lot of things that we just don't know until we, you know, move on into it and investigate and review.
Even a vendor coming in with an idea of what he thinks would work doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be successful. He'll probably have to adjust his line of goods or how he's presenting his products, and so he probably he's rolling the dice himself a little bit.
We do have one comment card from a friend of the library, and that would be Lorene Morick.
Hi, commissioners. I wanted to give my point of view about what I consider to be the failure of the store. I think in the beginning, everybody had high hopes that the traffic of the library users would be the patrons of the store. the large majority of the Friends of the Library didn't really want to have a store. They wanted to just have a bookstore and continue to generate books that the library could use and that could be sold and made as a profit. And the ones that were not used were typically donated to schools, hospitals, and groups like that, typically through Karen Brown's own sources. And so when the idea came about a store, I was real excited and quickly volunteered to be the buyer. But the people didn't come. We did not spend a lot on advertising or promotion or even to draw very much attention to us. We had a limited budget, and somehow that did not work out. They were able to get many volunteers. City is paying for a part-time staff, and she recruited many volunteers who are anxious and happy to be in there. They like each other. They like coming. They're book readers. They're typically seniors. And they like coming to the library, and I would hate to lose their support. Many people going into the store, however, commented to me that it looked like a thrift store. So the better items didn't get the viewing that they deserved. Also, the majority of people that came to that store were interested in buying a used book. So they were coming with the idea of buying a real treasure for a dollar or two. And the other items, they didn't glance at all. So I think the used book buyer still wants to come. They still want to buy used books. They don't particularly want to buy beautiful items. Originally, I did buy beautiful items, and they did sell through. However, we tried to save our money by going to consignment. So I kept finding jewelers and local artisans that would put their work on consignment. And their work, because it was there for free, didn't arouse any concerns of the group. So the things that are currently in the library store are pencils and papers and things that children or adults may use, and reading glasses that people coming to the library might need. And they could go in there if it's open and buy it, and they can buy one pencil. They don't need to buy a group. And that seems to be the customer. I think to bring in a vendor.
Can you roll it up?
I think to bring in a vendor would be a really, really good idea if we could find one that works. And I think if we can't find one that works, maybe we could find a better way to make the used bookstore work better. I just think that we need advertising dollars to make anything work. And I could try it again if I had advertising dollars. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments from commissioners now?
Hey, I just have one more question.
Sure.
Which is, so if we do an RFP, then we retain the authority to review the RFPs and then ultimately make decisions based on that. Is that right, Robin?
Recommend to the City Council. Mm-hmm.
So we'll receive the RFPs and then we'll determine whether we want to make a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you more comfortable with that?
I feel like I need more information, but if we get that information, I'm not saying I'm pro having someone in the gift shop yet, or having a gift shop at all.
Right.
But I would be open to looking at what our options are.
Okay. Do I have a motion on bringing an RFP to the City Council?
I would make the motion.
Motion has been made. Is there a second?
I would second with the hopefully friendly amendment about pursuing the at least a room, if not the copier room, for used books. Is that acceptable?
I guess.
But it's not. But you're not putting out an RFP for another room for the.
No, it's not an RFP. But I don't think that should get left off of the mix. It could be two separate things, or it could be just what we believe we're going to do, but I think the Friends of the Library need to know we're serious as well with their support.
Or perhaps dress up the room in an aesthetic way that it's not given second billing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we want an RFP to be initiated to pursue an outside-run gift store concept while maintaining the used bookstore in a different location with the possibility of aesthetically improving it.
So are we moving the used bookstore while we pursue the RFP? If the used bookstore remains where it is,
oh, no,
should we accept an RFP, then we would locate additional space for the Friends of the right. Library if we find something that even interests us. Right.
The store will stay as is until something happens.
That's what I understood. Right. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. We've got a motion and a second. Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays?
Nay.
Okay, we are 1 out of 6. Moving along to the discussion and recommendation from the subcommittee regarding library fees, and I must say, after looking at the report and the spreadsheet, that committee had a much tougher job than we did. I want to thank Karen Brown and Bob Hill and Nava for their work on the committee, and I'll turn it over to Commissioner Brown to summarize what happened.
Okay, our committee met also with Robin and Barbara, and after discussion and some reviewing and lots of numbers flying around the tables, we have come up with the following recommendations. Regarding library cards, we recommend that there is no charge for a library card as long as the applicant is a California resident. We recommend that the Calabasas library card not be available for California residents, which is kind of redundant right there, but just wanted to make sure everybody was clear.
For non-California residents.
Right.
Which is actually the current policy. It's remaining the same.
So that policy is current and it will remain. We're recommending that it stay the same. Okay, there's some study rooms, and we recommend that there be implemented a $15 per hour fee with a two-hour limit per day for use of study rooms. And this would be for people who are not residents of Calabasas, who are not students of Las Virgenes Unified School Districts, or students attending a school in Calabasas. So there's the LVUSD district as well as the other schools that are in Calabasas. We recommend that the study room be reserved only by groups after 3 p.m. during the week and all day on Saturday and Sunday, which I understand is the current policy. Regarding the interlibrary loan fees, the group recommends that residents will be charged $2 per item plus any lending library charges. We also recommend that non-residents be charged $10 per item plus any lending library charges. And for your perusal, we did have attachments.
Which were excellent. I especially enjoyed the one that gave the active and inactive patrons list.
Now that report is provided by our new system. With Barbara's, Barbara was able to provide that information by the Polaris, so that was extremely helpful.
Yeah, I actually want to thank the staff, even though it was provided by Polaris, it still is there's so much valuable data there that it was easy to make the decisions.
It made it easy to do it, is what I'm saying, but Barbara still had to put it together, but we,
Commissioners have any comments before we vote on this? Commissioner Owry.
Just a quick question, the ILL fees, is that the same or is that a new fee, the interlibrary loans?
New.
Yes. Commissioner Scheer.
Yeah, several. It's a good report and I wasn't sure what that last table meant. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's our fault. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, she was just concerned about the ILL fee and I wanted to Jennifer to understand that we're one of one library that doesn't charge, and it's quite a large impact on the staff, especially. So,
Okay. I have a couple questions. I think I understand it, but just to clarify, if a student lives here but goes to a school outside of Calabasas, they still are considered, okay.
Yeah.
And
they're
then
resident.
They're resident. Well, so are LVUSD, so I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Then the study room, we can run into a situation where either a non-for-profit or for-profit wants to rent the space. Do we want to rent to them? I think that needs to be addressed as part of this, what we think we want to do.
I think we already have a policy, Barbara.
Right now,
Director
we don't
Lockwood.
Ask no anyone who. Why they want the room. They
Pardon?
Just show, right now, we don't ask anyone why they want the room.
Okay.
They just show us their library card, and we let them use the room. But there's such a high demand for these rooms that
That's why I think we need to clarify. I'll give you an example. The cantor at my temple was looking to do additional lessons elsewhere. I think I called here to see if that room was available. And I think I talked to you, or I talked to somebody, I can't remember, and they said, we don't rent it out for that purpose. Fine, great. But we need to make sure if we're going to start charging that, you know, if we don't want that, that's fine. Then we don't. But we need to say this is just for, you know, for student use or, you know, resident use, but it's not for nonprofits or for profit use.
Are you talking about the multi-purpose room or those small rooms that we have in the back?
The study rooms, yeah. But because you could have a tutor come in.
Well, we've had that.
Makes money.
And that's one of
you want that,
we have people
fine.
Running their businesses out of our study rooms.
Pardon?
We have individuals who run their businesses out of our study rooms.
And if that's okay, then that's okay. But we need to clarify which way it is. You know, if we're running into some... but this just states a fee. To my mind, it doesn't...
There's limitation on the hours, though.
Okay. So you think that's enough? Because I know that they're high-use rooms, and we want... It would seem that we'd want our residents to have... first priority, but if those rooms aren't being filled, then absolutely why not have these other people using them?
Well, they can
them.
If they pay.
That's Pardon?
What we're saying yes, they can certainly use the room
okay,
if it's available and they pay.
Are we turning away? I don't mean to create a problem where
there may not be one at all.
I'm just making sure.
We're trying to make it more fair and equitable for our residents, I think, is what it is. So they have the first priority for the rooms. But if the room is available, certainly anyone who is not a Calabasas resident or a student in one of the schools can use it and pay the fee. And whether they're for-profit or non-profit, I don't really have a way of checking that. You know, we have people who are tutors, but they'll say it's their child. You know, so it's hard to really distinguish.
This is one of those ones where we're moving in the direction of where we think we want to go, and it may come back later on for some tweaking. We say, you know, we've got to add a few more adjustments to this, and we'll recommend. But we currently don't even have a reservation system in place. It's first come, first serve. So that's the other thing that's we're gonna have to look at with this is creating a reservation system. And we wanted to address this because this is many of the complaints in Barberton that we receive, that it's first come, first serve. I have to stand here. I'm a Calabasas resident. Why do I have to do this? So we're looking to complement this policy. We're looking at establishing a reservation program to procedure.
And so what is the desire of the subcommittee as far as the motion goes?
Well, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Sure.
And the $10 fee for the ILN?
ILL.
I'm sorry.
The library loan. Yeah.
And looking at the chart, and there's several at that price. Here's my question. What is our cost per transfer? Here's my reasoning. And it may, again, be totally not an issue. I just want to clarify. At $10, if they're getting in a, say, a paperback or something, they could buy the darn paperback. So, you know, are we charging more than we should be for that? That I have no problem with the fee. Is $10 okay?
You know, the $10 is for non-residents, and what we're finding is that we are the only library in the surrounding area that does not charge for interlibrary loans. So we're getting people from Reseda, Glendale, Pasadena, who don't want to pay the fee at their local library, so they'll come down there and call us and say, we'd like to do an ILL. I want to say it costs to send, you know, the book has to be sent to us, and then we have to send the book back, so there's postage costs.
Sure.
So we're trying to make it a minimal cost for our residents, but something, because we're the only ones that aren't recouping our costs for this. And this isn't a standard service. This is an extra value service.
Okay.
They can certainly go out and buy the book. More often, these books are rare books that you can't find through Amazon or a bookstore, so they come to the library for it.
Thank you.
What did the subcommittee want the commission to do on this? Do we want to institute these fees and then have an expiration date beyond which we need to address it again? Or do we want to just institute it and leave it alone?
Should just adopt.
Just follow the recommendations, I think.
Adoption?
Yeah.
Or we'll take it, I'll probably take it to the city council then for, you know, just to make sure they're aware of it.
Okay.
And that would be to approve it and recommend to the city council.
Follow the adoption.
How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
But there are the adoptions that Karen read earlier, right?
Right. Okay. So the recommendation to the council would be for the interlibrary loan fees and the information on the library cards.
And study rooms.
And the study rooms. Okay. Do we have a motion on that?
So moved.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any more discussion? Good. Okay. Let's move right along to the Administrative Services Director's report.
I don't have a report for you tonight, but I did want to bring to your attention when you might want to consider meeting. I know traditionally we have not met in November and December. Unfortunately, the third Mondays in January and February are both holidays. So I thought, did you want me to see if I can get a fourth Monday in January or February? And I can email you all and let you know. I've got to talk to the commission that meets on the fourth Mondays and see if they're going to meet in January. I don't know. And he wasn't in, the liaison wasn't in today.
I take it the city's closed on MLK
yes.
and President,
yeah.
so we can't meet that day.
Oh, no. Right. We can't. Yeah, right. We're closed.
Uh-huh.
So I will see what I can do to see if I can find another meeting date in January, which I think is when we have met before, if that is agreeable with the commission.
That's fine.
And I'll work on it and send you all an email.
Okay.
City Librarians Report. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you. Commissioners, you'll see in front of you, you have the calendar for October. And this calendar is available on the website for our patrons and also at the library. And we have a plethora of programs. The lunch at the library is continuing. And we have been working with the Calabasas Historical Society. They've been presenting some really excellent programs. And the next one on the 25th is the St. Francis Dam and the story of water for Los Angeles. The first part of that was the whole story about William Mulholland, and there was great interest in that. So if people are wanting to come to that, it's free and it's at noon. We continue with yoga. We had a nutritionist on the 11th who had a big crowd and was quite controversial. And she had some interesting ideas. So because it kept continuing over the time, we're going to have her back in November. So look for that. Besides these programs, we have some special things too. Steve Burley of College Pathways will be at the library to discuss college issues on Thursday, November 1st at 5 p.m. And the event is free, and he also is going to give his DVD out. Did you know that? to the first couple of people, to everyone, right? Mm-hmm. On Admission Zen, the stress-free path to getting to college. So again, that's free, open to the public. And another thing that I'd like to tell you in advance is on Sunday, December 9th at 12:30, we're having a man named Duffy Hudson, who is going to play all the 46 characters of the Christmas Carol. I don't know how he's going to do it, but it should be interesting. And he's really popular. He goes to lots of libraries, and they have hundreds of people coming to these events. So everyone should plan to attend that. That's going to be in the Founders Hall. We're expecting a big crowd. And again, it's free. So please put that on your calendar and show up for that. The self-check machine is up and running at the library. And the media department put a big, on our website. They have instructions of how to use it, and we'll help you use it at the library, too. So it's a cool little gadget, and if you don't want to wait in line, it's really great. This is something we did when we initiated Polaris, that we could get this working with the self-check machine as part of our whole RFID project. So it reads the RFID tags. So that's really cool. Great. And statistics, I know you always love those. We have 67,123 items in the library as of today. And we had, in September, we had more than 15,000 items check out, and then about 2,800 items used in-house. So it's about 18,000 items moved to the library every month. The circulation was down?
Yeah, to 4,000, not circulation, patrons, 4,000 a week. It was down from 4,000 to 4,500.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Well, we're still, we're 4, incredibly busy.
People a week coming.
Still.
Wow. Yeah.
So, do you have any questions? Okay, thank you. And Carolyn wanted to say something about an event.
We had a couple of events this past week that I just kind of wanted to mention. When we were in the place across the street 5 years ago, we used to have the teens used to put on an art and film exhibition, and they've started that up again. And we had a little small one on Saturday, and it was really great. They showed some student films, and had some of the students brought their artwork in, and it was small scale, but we're getting it back up again. It's going to be a yearly event in the fall. So I was pleased with how it turned out, and the kids, they just have such initiative. I just love them. This last Wednesday, Ellen Pangarliotis, as a representative of the League of Women Voters, came and gave a nonpartisan analysis of the measures from the November election, and we had 54 people, which in the multipurpose room, which is quite cozy. So that has become more popular in the past few years. We've done it for quite some time, but it's been a lot more popular, and we might even have to move it to the Founders Hall next time. So I want to thank Ellen for coming and doing that for the library. My film fanatics are going to be watching the Hitchcock classic Rope on October 17th at 6 p.m. And the kids, the Commons always have a Halloween kids thing on the Tuesday before Halloween, so we kind of get on that. And they're going to, we're going to have trick-or-treating with some of our little incentives left over from the summer in the children's room, and then they'll watch Dora's Halloween at 7:15. So, thank you.
Robin?
I just wanted to mention to the commission that we did have a new librarian start last month. His name is Daniel Macri.
Did I pronounce that right, Barbara?
Yeah. And very enthusiastic, and he's doing a great job. He, as you all know, he replaced Allie, who left. And the other thing I wanted the commission to be aware of and maybe put on their radar is December 1st, the library is going to be closed due to the city's holiday party that we hold in the library. So they don't open it on Saturday because they start getting ready early in the day. We have to shut down and move computers and so forth. So just so you're aware of it.
That's it. Okay, that brings us to future agenda item requests. Any commissioners have any items to request?
I don't have any.
Okay. I would like the dates that the items that we are recommending to the council, when they come up, if you could let us know, Robin.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, because I will. I would recommend that the subcommittees be there to
yes.
support their recommendations and the staff reports. While I'll be more than happy to prepare them, because I pretty much have great drafts. I mean, great ones already. They will come from the subcommittees or the it'll come from the library commission, not a recommendation from staff.
Okay. Any other commissioners have any items? I'd like a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.